I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 1 this morning, Romans chapter 1. And I want to talk to you this morning about the subject, ready to preach. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 13, Paul writing to the church at Rome, and of course this is the first in order of Paul's epistles in the Bible. It was probably the last letter Paul wrote as far as during the Acts ministry. He wrote Corinthians, Thessalonians, Galatians, and Romans during that period of time. And this was probably the last letter written during the Acts period. But it's the first in order, and I think that's for a reason, because of what is said and the things that are said about the gospel and justification by grace through faith. But in verse 13 of Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "Now I would not have you ignorant brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, my question to you is, as Paul said, he was ready, are you? Are you ready to preach the gospel? Now, I'm not talking about stand up in a pulpit and preach the gospel. I know that some people, that just it strikes fear in their heart to even think about speaking in public. But you have people that you have an opportunity to preach to every day. The word preach simply means to proclaim the truth. And so I want us to look today at this statement by the Apostle Paul when he says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Now what is significant about that, and why is it that Paul was able to make this statement that he was ready to preach the gospel? Well, I think there's three things about the Apostle Paul, really, that... let me turn my phone off here because I felt it vibrating and I don't like that. there are three things about the Apostle Paul that I see in the Scriptures that I believe are the reason he said, "I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel." I think the first one has to do with the fact that the Apostle Paul knew what to preach. He said, "As much as in me is, I am ready." And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the power of Christ, power of God. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Verse 15, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also." Paul desired to go there to Rome, and he couldn't go, and so he wrote this letter to the church there at Rome. And he said he was ready to preach the gospel. Now, why was the Apostle Paul ready? Well, look over in Galatians chapter 1. What was it that equipped the Apostle Paul so that he could say he was ready to preach the gospel? After all, this was a man who had spent much of his life having Christians put to death. Here was a man that had denied the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Here was a man who was a rebellious Jew, rebelling against God and against the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, here he shows up in the book of Romans, after getting saved in Acts chapter 9. The next book in your Bible is the book of Romans. And Paul said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel." Well, look in Galatians chapter 1. In verse 10, he said, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul had received a specific revelation from God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ in relation to what he was to preach. And Paul was thoroughly convinced that he had all the information that he needed at that time to proclaim the gospel. As a matter of fact, if you go over to Galatians chapter 2, there's an interesting statement over here in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 1. He says, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately, despite our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." Now notice, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter." Now there are several interesting statements made in that passage right there about the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Number one, he says there that he went up by revelation. He mentioned that revelation back in chapter 1. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, "The gospel which I preach is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." It's also interesting that Paul said, "I went up by revelation," and when he said he went up, as Jerry pointed out this morning, go up to Jerusalem. "I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel." Now let me ask you something, folks. If those at Jerusalem were preaching the same gospel that Paul is preaching, as many say, why would Paul need to go up there and communicate unto them that gospel which he was preaching among the Gentiles? It would make no sense whatsoever. The reason Paul had to go up there and communicate that gospel is because it was not the gospel that had previously been preached. Now, when I talk about the gospel that's previously been preached, as Paul received his message by revelation, we have men that came before the Apostle Paul that were authentic, they were ordained of God, and they too received their message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at them, the idea generally in religion is that John came on the scene and preached, Christ preached, the 12 preached, and then Paul just took up where they left off and continued, and maybe there was some additional revelation. But I want you to notice some things. Go back in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, we have first on the scene is John the Baptist. John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 4, the Bible says, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Now, Paul said, "When I went up there, I communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles." In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, he said that the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried and raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now stop and think about this. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John preached exactly what God Almighty ordained that he preach. Look over in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse 76. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way." Who's he talking about? John the Baptist. Notice verse 77. "To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." Well, isn't it interesting that Mark wrote what John was preaching? Luke records what God said was to be the ministry of John the Baptist, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Mark said John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Matthew chapter 3, he says, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Why did he do that? Well, look back in Malachi chapter 3, the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 in verse 1. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. When John came on the scene there in Matthew chapter 3 and said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Listen, folks, anybody that understood the Old Testament understood that there was going to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. They understood about the ministry of John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, had you accepted Christ as the Messiah, John would have been Elias. But they didn't. But the fact is, and my point here this morning is that John was the ordained, certified minister of God Almighty, preaching exactly what God had foreordained that he preach, and that was repentance and remission of sins. So you have John on the scene preaching. Then you have Christ. Look over in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4. Look in verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, then we're told what John preached. He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and he's preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look over in Mark chapter 1 again. In Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ had a very specific ministry. He called out 12 men. Go back to Matthew and look in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look over in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. I'm reading all, I realize, folks, most of all of you are familiar with this, but I want you to understand the significance of all of these verses that outline what John preached, what Jesus Christ preached, and what the 12 preached. Because, you know, nobody ever really questions that. Nobody ever casts any doubt upon the authenticity of what they preached and their calling and their being ordained of God. But they certainly do the Apostle Paul. John had a very specific ministry ordained of God. Jesus Christ came to this earth, God manifest in the flesh, but Jesus Christ had a ministry. He said, I came not to do my will, but to do the will of the Father. And that will included training 12 men to carry out preaching this gospel of the kingdom, Christ knowing that he was going to die. After he dies, he meets with the 12, and some of the last words he says to them, we find in Luke 24, verse 45. Notice what it said. Then open here understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Well, let's see if they obey. Hold on there and look at Acts 2:38. I mean, just notice the words, folks, how precise and exact they are. In Luke 24, we just read, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. Now then, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did he preach? Repentance and remission of sins. Now, I want you to just think about something. In Acts chapter 9, the apostle Paul gets saved. Let's say the Lord appears unto him, and Paul gets saved. He just appears to him. He acknowledges that he's the Messiah. So Paul's out here, and he says, okay, God's called me to preach. Now, what I need to do is go back there and talk to Matthew. He was an eyewitness, and he can tell me what I ought to preach. Could he? He said, well, what about Mark? Mark was over there. Well, I know Luke, the physician. Let me go to him and let him, maybe he can instruct me about what I ought to preach. Folks, I hope you're getting the picture. There was a reason that God gave the Apostle Paul the revelation of the mystery. Come on, it was different. It was a separate and distinct ministry. It was not the ministry that John had that was being continued. It was not the ministry that Christ had that was being continued. It was not even the ministry the 12 had that was being continued. That ministry, the message always included with John, Jesus Christ, and the 12. We just read the verses. Every one of them said repentance and remission of sins. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul was in jail and the Philippian jailer asked him, what must I do to be saved? Paul did not say, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In Matthew 19, a man came to Christ and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. Man said, I've kept them all since my childhood. He said, then go and sell that thou hast and give alms to the poor. In Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching a murder indictment to the nation Israel. He said, you've by wicked hands taken and slain and crucified the Holy One. Your very Messiah you've put to death. And they said, what shall we do? He didn't say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Well, why did he say that? Because just a few days before, Christ told them that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in my name. So you get over to Acts chapter 3 and Peter says, repent and be converted that your sins, what? May be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Lo and behold, Israel would not repent as a nation. In Acts chapter 7, they stoned Stephen to death. And you know who's standing there holding the coat of those that are stoning him? Saul, a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. As touching the law, he said, blameless. And so Saul is on the road to Damascus to get papers. That is, to get permission to have more Jews put to death for preaching this heretical doctrine that this man, Jesus Christ, was the Messiah. And the Lord appeared to him, the Bible says, brighter than the noonday sun. And Paul was blinded. And you know the first words out of his mouth, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He said, arise and go there into the city, and it'll be told thee what thou art to do. We looked at the ministry of the Apostle Paul a few weeks back, over four or five Sundays, Acts 26, where he said to King Agrippa, Lord, or King Agrippa, how the Lord had saved him and gave him the ministry and what that ministry included. He says it was to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified. That's Paul's ministry. Why was it that Paul was able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also? Because Paul had not one doubt in his mind about what he was going to preach. Now, you know what? I'm not just trying to bash preachers, but I want to submit to you folks that there are some preachers that need to decide what you're going to preach. They need to decide, are they going to preach the message that John the Baptist preached? Are they going to preach the message that Jesus preached? Are they going to preach the message that Peter preached? Are they going to preach the revelation given to the Apostle Paul? You know what has happened in religion today, sadly? Most preachers, they really don't know. So they'll take a little bit over here, and they'll take a little bit here. We talked about that after Sunday school this morning, somebody, how that so many churches, you know, they'll go through the Bible, and they use the Bible like a buffet. You know, if they see something back there in the Old Testament they want to use to prove their point, they'll jerk it out over there. They go over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and if they see something in Matthew that somehow they can control people with, you know, they'll pull that out, and they'll preach that. And then it gets to the stewardship time of the year. And so the preachers will go back to Malachi. The same preacher will tell you we're under the New Testament. They got to go back to Malachi. And they're going to say, if you don't give, God's not going to bless you. The Bible says if you'll give, He'll open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings you won't be able to receive. Never looking at the context there, that it's to the nation Israel, and it's about the priesthood, and it's about bringing their food. And what am I saying? People go through and they just pick and choose what they want to use, rather than rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul said, I'm ready. He said, I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. He said, those that were thought to be somewhat, they added nothing to me. But contrawise. Think about that. Here's this little old Jew, the Apostle Paul, called of God, given the revelation of the mystery. And there's that whole council up there at Jerusalem. All those religious zealots, those Pharisees and Sadducees, all the religious hierarchy of the whole world is there, and Paul said, they added nothing to me. Was Paul some kind of egomaniac? No, Paul was doing what God Almighty called him to do. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was ready to preach the gospel because he knew what to preach. He knew what his ministry was. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ told the 12 in Matthew 28, Mark 16? He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them that believe. Those that are baptized shall be saved. Those that are not shall be dead. I mean, they were sent to preach that gospel of the kingdom, baptizing people in water. That was part of their commission. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, come on. Could Paul possibly have been operating under the commission that Christ gave the 12? Couldn't have. If Christ told them that water baptism was part of their commission, and he did in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, and Paul turns around and says, Christ sent me not to baptize. Somebody said, well, what he means there is he sent me not to baptize primarily. He was an evangelist and the pastors handled the job of baptizing. That's a lot to read into that verse there, isn't it? You know why people do that kind of thing? It doesn't really mean what it says because it doesn't fit their doctrine. The doctrine is Christ sent me not to baptize. Say, but Paul did baptize some people. Yeah, he baptized some people up to a certain point in his ministry, and then he no longer baptized people. And he said the reason was Christ sent me not to baptize, but what? To preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Look in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Look over in chapter 2, in verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul knew what to preach. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, verse 28, Paul said, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Whom we preach? Whom did he preach? The Lord Jesus Christ. What did he preach about him? Christ crucified. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 8. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." I put some stuff on Facebook this past week, and I'm not real popular, not nearly as popular as it was last week before I put it on there. There was a lady that contacted me. Listen, I was her youth director when she was 16 years old. And she said, "What are you now? Not how are you doing, not where are you living, but based on what I wrote, what are you now?" And I said, "What do you mean, what am I?" She said, "Are you still a Southern Baptist preacher?" And I said, "Did what I write sound like a Southern Baptist preacher?" She said, "No, that's why I'm asking the question." I said, "No, I preached as a Southern Baptist preacher for 7 years, lost. And then I got saved. And so I gave her my testimony." She wrote back and she said, "Well, it sounds to me like you're just saying from the things I've read in your post that people just live any way they want to." I wrote back and I said, "I want you to tell me one statement that I made that would imply that." She couldn't tell me one. Why is it when you say salvation is by grace, a free gift, all of a sudden people say, "Well, you're telling people they can live any way they want to"? I asked her, I wrote her again, I said, "I appreciate your response, but you still didn't answer my question. Tell me one thing you've ever read on Facebook or anywhere else, on my website or anywhere else, that has ever indicated I believe it's all right for people to sin." No answer. False accusations. Mary and I were going somewhere and she said, "Well, you got a lot of response." And I said, "I don't care." Paul said he was set for the defense of the gospel. Folks, let me tell you something. I ain't backing down when it comes to the truth of the gospel. People can rant and rave all they want to about how to get forgiveness and whether forgiveness is an issue or not. Listen, your sins are forgiven. They were paid for 2,000 years ago. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. And by the way, that's all I really put on there, was that fact that all of our sins are forgiven and that people are being told by friends and relatives that they need to confess and repent and everything else to get forgiveness. And I said, "Hey, listen, forgiveness was taken care of 2,000 years ago. Colossians 2:13, he has forgiven us all trespasses." I think it ended up with over 50-something responses on that. I thought everybody believed that believed salvation by grace, but they don't. Why? People want to have something to do with their forgiveness. They want to believe that somehow their confessing, their sorriness, their being repentant is what did it. Well, listen, I have no problem with a person confessing their sins every day before God. I'm not going to do it. I don't like memories of bad stuff. I don't have any problem with people confessing their sins if they want to. Just don't confess them believing that that's going to get forgiveness for them. There's nothing wrong. You want to mention your sins before the Lord and ask Him for help in overcoming those things? That's fine. But listen, folks, the message that Paul preached is so different from what was preached before, and it all had to do with the fact that our sins are forgiven on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's not by water baptism. It's not by repentance. It's not by 1 John 1:9, confessing your sins. It's by faith and trust in what Christ did, plus nothing. And people just don't want to hear that. And you know, this lady I'm talking about, when it came right down to it, she said, "Well, I really agree with what you said about salvation. I don't believe we can lose our salvation." And I'm thinking, well, then what was the point? Listen, that really is the deal. Because most people in this world today believe that somehow their sin can affect their position with Christ and cause them to lose their salvation. Can't do it. Once you've trusted in Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're sealed in the day of redemption. And yes, it's important how we live. Yes, God cares how we live, but it sure has nothing to do with our salvation. The message the Apostle Paul preached was the gospel of the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that message was the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. He said, I am ready. Paul knew what to preach. Not only that, he knew who to preach to. Look in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. How did Paul know who to preach to? Because the Lord told him. Acts 26, where he's before Agrippa, he says, he told me to preach unto the people, that's Israel, the Gentiles, and the kings. That pretty well covered it. Why did Paul need a ministry among the Gentiles, among the Jews? Because there were Jews, just like himself, who had committed blasphemy and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, and their only means of salvation was by the grace of God, just like Paul. And so he preached that message in Acts 13:38. There in the synagogue, he said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. You ever wonder, well, who should I preach to? The next person you meet, if you have an opportunity. You see, you don't have to wonder if they're one, you know, I've always wondered about these Calvinists. They're walking along and they think, well, I wonder if he's one of the elect. I wonder if he's one of the chosen. Maybe I ought to talk to him. I mean, the whole idea of evangelism, folks, is senseless if you embrace the Calvin doctrine. Paul just said there in the verse, by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. It didn't make any difference to Paul whether you were a Jew, a Gentile, bond or free, male or female, whether you sit on the Rome, the Jerusalem Council, or were a king or anybody else. Paul preached the same gospel. He said, I know whom I have believed. Why, don't you think when he went before King Agrippa, wouldn't it have been a lot easier if he had just kind of weaseled his way out of that and say, listen, you've heard some bad things about me and I didn't really preach it. No, you know what he did to King Agrippa? He said, he told him exactly what God told him to tell him. And you know what King Agrippa said? Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. See, you're not going to persuade everybody, folks. Your job is to preach the gospel, knowing what to preach and knowing whom to preach to. Everybody is a candidate. Every person. You say, well, I've talked so-and-so 100 times and they just won't listen. Well, then quit talking to them. Go find somebody else. There's some people that aren't going to hear. They're not going. Their mind is made up. Their attitude is, my mind's made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. They are entrenched in what they believe. Paul knew who to preach to. And then the last thing that I want to mention, he knew what the results of the preaching would be. You say, well, he did? Yeah, he did. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You see, whenever we present the gospel to somebody, whether it be by track or in person or maybe giving them a CD or a DVD or a tape or whatever, we know what's going to happen. There are going to be some people, they're going to reject it. There are going to be some people, they're going to accept it. There are going to be other people that will accept it seemingly, but then will turn away. But we know one thing for sure, those that accept it, God is going to do what He said He's going to do. He's going to save them and seal them unto the day of redemption. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, as Paul writes this last letter to Timothy, He said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." How? Through the gospel. You see, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed." And he says, "You ought not to be ashamed either. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You know what that tells me, folks? There's afflictions associated with preaching the gospel. People aren't going to always like it. They're not going to like you. Your friends and your family may hate what you believe. But Paul told Timothy, he said, "Timothy, don't be ashamed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You see, there's a power that worketh in us. Paul said, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome." So, well, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. Look there in verse 12. He said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." It's the power of God unto salvation. Are you ready? You see, you can go out with all confidence, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. You can know when you present that to somebody that God will use that in their life, and they can either accept it or reject it. Look back in 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. You can know what to preach. You can know who to preach to. And you can also be assured of the results. God wants people to hear the truth. Paul said, "One watered, one planted, another watered, but God gives the increase." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, he said, "If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You see, you don't know who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. Not only that, you don't know when they're going to believe or if they're ever going to believe. And so what I'm trying to get across in all this, folks, is that in so much of religion today, everything is results-oriented. And people count success by the number of people that they have led to the Lord. Well, I quit many years ago trying to lead anybody to the Lord. You know why? Because that implies having people repeat a prayer, say something, do something. Listen, if we really believe the gospel is the power of God to salvation, and it is, then when we preach it, can we not believe that God will use that gospel to work in the hearts of those that will believe without us persuading or somehow putting a sell job on somebody? It is the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation. That's why take the opportunities, whether it's on the internet or on radio or TV or person to person, wherever you are, open your mouth and make known the truth of the gospel, because in those words there is power. The power doesn't rest in us. Notice verse 7. Paul said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of" what? "The power may be of God and not of us." It has nothing to do with our ability. It has to do with our availability. It has nothing to do with our power. It has to do with His power. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Don't be ashamed of it. Know that it is the way that God has chosen to bring about the salvation of mankind today. We do not see a lot of results. But you know, that's not our concern, really. Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. Paul was ready because he knew what to preach. I hope you do. Paul was ready because he knew who to preach to. There was no distinction. While we find over there in the book of Philemon that when Paul was in prison, he was in there, he not only preached to the kings and to the guards and everybody else, he preached to a man that was a servant in there. And then wrote Philemon, told him to forgive him for running away. Didn't make any difference who it was. And Paul knew the results of preaching. He knew that it was the power of God and salvation, even though we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And his admonition to Timothy would be the same admonition to you and I. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. You see, folks, there's not a whole lot of afflictions that come about just being religious. The world likes religious people. They like good moral people. But I found out when you present just the plain out truth of the gospel, it infuriates some people. You don't believe it? I'll print some stuff off and let you read it. It makes people mad when you tell them that sin, their sins are forgiven. Had a man this week wrote back several kind of snide remarks. Well, that's just too good to be true or something along those lines. Well, it is too good to be true, but it is. It makes people mad. It upsets people. Did so in Paul's day. He ended up being put to death. But he said, Timothy, don't you be ashamed of me or of the testimony of our Lord, because it is the truth. God has equipped us so that we can be ready. Now, if I ask you the question, are you ready? I hope you can say with all assurance that you are ready. You know what to preach. You know the good news of salvation. You know that there's no limit on who you can preach it to. And you know what the result's going to be. Some are going to believe, some aren't. But that's not your responsibility. Plant, water, and let God give the increase. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I heard a man this morning on radio preaching. And he was talking about the importance of giving an invitation at the end of the service. And I was under such conviction, I decided to do... No, just kidding. He was talking about the importance of people coming down to the altar and confessing their sins and getting right with God and how he walked down that altar. And you know what I'm thinking? I was thinking about back when I was 12 years old and I went down to an altar. I got in a pool and got baptized. You know what it did to me? It deceived me. Let me stop. People just need to use reasoning. What is it you could do down here to affect your relationship with God that you couldn't do sitting back there in that pew? If people want to give invitation, I don't have any problem with that. That's their business. But come on, folks. People want to do something in their flesh. That's just the way we are. Your relationship with God is a spiritual relationship. And if you've never been saved, you know what? This morning, sitting where you're sitting, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you can pass from death into life, boom, just by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Walking down here wouldn't have anything, couldn't add anything to that. Say, but then I would be professing it. Well, if you do that this morning, for goodness sake, profess it. Tell somebody. People ask me frequently, why don't you... And by the way, there's a message on this past week that I did about the fallacy of walking the aisle. Maybe that's what he was talking about. But the whole point is this, folks. The simplicity of the gospel. The devil will do everything he can to blind people's minds from that. We want to tear away every obstacle and let people know that salvation is simply a free gift by receiving what Christ did at Calvary. Would you stand with me for prayer?